I am excited and grateful to share with you the internal podcast today. The title we're giving to this podcast is Honoring Faithfulness. And the podcast today will be testimonies from some missionaries who are completing this year another decade of missionary service. Really glad to be able to hear from two who are completing 10 years, from two who are completing 20 years, from five who are completing 30 years, and from one who is completing 40 years of missionary service with GFA. And we give the title here, Honoring Faithfulness, and there are two ideas in that title. One, we do really want to show our appreciation, our gratitude to these people who have served the Lord and have persevered in ministry through these milestones. The Apostle Paul regularly shares words of praise and appreciation for those who have labored alongside of him in the gospel work, and even those who have labored away from him. And he knows of them and expresses his appreciation for them. And we want to do that today by hearing from these and hearing these testimonies that they share, and really look at them with appreciation and give praise to the Lord for them. But then secondly, when we say these words, honoring faithfulness, ultimately we are honoring God's own faithfulness. He is the one who has faithfully provided for them. He has directed them. He has enabled them to serve. And he has ultimately used their efforts and blessed their efforts to accomplish his purposes around the world. So we're honoring their faithfulness to the Lord, but most of all, his faithfulness to them. And I know you will be encouraged by hearing these testimonies that really do point us to the Lord and will enable us to join in giving him glory for his working. God bless you.
Hello, this is Sarah Morris. I have been serving in the Philippines since 2011, first as a short-term missionary, and then for the last 10 years as a career missionary. And I'm so thankful for our GFA family, for the help, support, and prayers of the home office, and for the fellowship with many of you at the GFA conferences, and especially for the godly team of co-workers the Lord has given us here in the Philippines over the years. It is a great privilege to be involved in training the next generation of leaders at BJMBC. I am encouraged to see how God is using our graduates in many different places. I have also loved serving at Living Faith Christian Baptist Church since coming here. My pastor is a BJMBC graduate, and I have been so grateful to serve under a pastor who has been well-trained and well-equipped for ministry. It is hard to sum up all that the Lord has done over the years in just a few minutes, but one thing the Lord has been impressing on my heart more and more is the necessity of prayer and the reality that nothing of eternal value can be accomplished apart from prayer. Recently, I've been meditating on the phrase, we are laborers together with God. And I'm reminded that God is the one accomplishing the real work in hearts and lives in my ministry. And my part is simply to cooperate with him in the work that he is already doing. While I was on deputation, I remember talking to a retired missionary to China. He shared that they were in China for 25 years, but he could only speak and understand about 60% of the language. He shared several stories and how things were not ideal, but then tears welled up in his eyes as he said, "But God worked." And I have thought of that so many times over these past years, as I have seen the Lord work in situations that are less than ideal, and work through me despite my inadequacies and despite my weakness. Repeatedly, I have seen him change hearts when I was ready to give up on someone. I have seen him strengthen me when I was weak. I have seen him enable me with the language when I am not as fluent as I would like to be. I have seen him build a music program at my church, with almost none of the musicians having the opportunity for traditional weekly lessons. I'm amazed as I have seen him at work over and over again. I remember one time shortly before the pandemic. At that time, I had just finished over a year of full-time language studies, and one of my Sunday school girls had brought her atheist friend that she had been witnessing to an outreach that we had. Her friend wanted to talk with me and had a lot of deep spiritual questions. I could sense the Holy Spirit giving unusual freedom as I spoke with her, and I could sense him using his word in her life. But the unusual thing about our conversation was that she was speaking almost completely in Tagalog, and I was speaking almost entirely in English. Afterwards, one of my Sunday school girls that had been listening said to me, "Could you really understand her? She was using such deep Tagalog." I got concerned and said, "Oh no, did I answer her wrong?" She said, No, you answered her right. I just don't know how you could understand her. And I don't know either, but all I can say is that was the Lord. Another time I remember an interpersonal conflict that needed to be resolved, and I had talked with both sides, I had been praying about it, but it had been going on for weeks, and the situation remained the same. Then one particular Sunday I got sick, and I had to stay home from church. And little did I know God's plan for that day. But because I was home, some of our regular music rehearsals got canceled, and the Lord used that time to bring the whole situation to resolution, just taking me out of the way so that He could work. I'm so thankful that we have a faithful God and that He doesn't need ideal circumstances, but that He chooses to use the weak and the foolish things of this world and works through us as earthen vessels in such a way that the excellency of the glory may be all of Him.
Hi, this is Marnie Krauss, currently serving in France and Luxembourg. And I want to share a bit of a testimony. All throughout my life, including my years as a Christian school teacher and now with GFA, God has shown Himself faithful over and over. Faithful to guide, to protect, to provide, to convict of sin, to illuminate His word, to encourage, and so much more. And He wants us to be faithful too, in every area and aspect of our lives. In 1995, I started asking God, like Isaiah did, to send me. I was thinking a foreign mission field, and instead God sent me to a small Christian school. But it took me a while to realize that that was the mission field that the Lord had planned for me at that time. And it was 13 years of praying, "Lord, send me," before God allowed me to serve Him on a foreign field, when I short-termed in Cameroon from 2008 to 10 and then 2013 and 14. And it was a total of 19 years of praying before I began deputation. But does that mean that God left me hanging with unanswered prayer? Well, of course not. You know that answer, even if you don't know the details. In every school year, God sent me different fields, different student groups to show God's love to and pray for, or parents to minister to, different members of the community to reach out to, people to disciple, different children in Sunday school and in the youth group. And then in God's wonderful timing, He allowed me to serve Him in Cameroon and now in France and Luxembourg. I think often of 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. Says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it." And I believe that phrase, "faithful is He that calleth you," in verse 24, is talking more about God calling us to be more like Himself, our designed end being to bring Him glory, than it is calling to a foreign field. But I've gone back to that verse so many times in my life with thoughts like, "Well, Lord, you brought me to this time, these circumstances, and I know you have the answer to whatever lays ahead." Or "God, you knew that this would be needed, this requirement would be here before I was ever born, before it ever came up, and you know how to accomplish it because God is faithful." And He called, and He will answer. I think it ties in as well with Jeremiah 29:11, which states, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." You know, never once has God failed, or can He ever fail, to bring about His expected end. And He is faithful to His word. You know, as I said at the beginning, He shows His faithfulness in part as He guides and answers prayer, as He provides, and that provision is not just physical things, but also life circumstances through which God seeks to mold me to be more like Himself, to mold you to be more like Himself, and as He seeks to grow me to be more faithful. I'm so thankful for God's faithfulness in my life, for his love and patience and care and protection, and know that I can trust Him no matter what comes. again, because he is faithful.
We are Tim and Laura Berry. We have been with GFA. It'll be 20 years this year. And Sarah Hartwig asked us to do a brief recording for the internal podcast and a couple questions as a prompt for us. What kept us going or what makes us useful on the field? And we spent a number of years with BGMBC in the Philippines, and then the Lord brought us here to the home office. But as my wife and I thought about these questions, there were three things that we thought of immediately that really helped us in our ministry. The first of those would be just a sense of calling to minister BGMBC, to minister in Asia. This is something we had prayed for. And when the Lord finally opened the door, there was a sense of joy, of excitement, of anticipation, a sense that it was God. God was the one that had opened that door.
The second thing is a love for the people on the field. And even when times got challenging, it was this that kept us going and just gave us that encouragement. So Filipinos in general are wonderful people. We were so blessed to be able to live in and among them. But our BGMBC students in particular, they love God's word. They are eager to learn. And we just truly loved the people of the field.
I have sometimes said to people that if you like to teach God's word, there's no better place for you than BGMBC. And that is just because of the hunger that the students have for God's word. And they listen so intently.
The third thing that probably kept us going was just the nourishment that we received from God's word.
I think of my wife so many times. You would be downstairs having devotions early in the morning. You write stuff down in notebooks. I mean, how many notebooks do you have from your personal devotions? So many, it'd be hard to count them. For me, it's a Bible. I like to write notes in my Bible while I'm having my devotions. And I remember even when we were bringing our stuff back, when the Lord had redirected us to the GFA home office, one of the things that I really wanted to bring back was this cheap, hardback pew Bible. And the reason I wanted it is not the value of the Bible, but it was just all the notes that I had written in it. And I valued those as things that God had taught me in my reading of that Bible. We would say that these three things are also things that we would use as advice to give to others who were considering missions, things that would help them to be useful on their fields or things that would help keep them going.
My name is Steve McLean, and I serve in Wales with my wife, Marcia. We've been here since 2008. And one scripture that I've really turned to more and more in the last few years is the 90th Psalm, which begins with the words, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations," which is really the perfect prayer for any missionary who's left home, has made their home in a new place. And we all know what that's like who work on the foreign mission field. But to be reminded that the Lord is our dwelling place is just such a wonderful encouragement. And the 90th Psalm is just full of help for any Christian, really. But I find in ministry, it's particularly helpful. The Psalm is part lament and part just bold requests. And so you cover a whole spectrum of things in that Psalm, from facing up to our own fragility and the brevity of life to acknowledging our sinfulness. And yet it turns in the end of the psalm to requests. There's a prayer in verse 14, "To satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." And you combine that with the notion that earlier in the psalm that our days are swiftly passing away, to be reminded that we can find satisfaction in the morning in God's steadfast love. That really nourishes us in ministry day by day. And then there's another wonderful request that I just find so encouraging. later in the psalm, in verse 17, the final verse, it says, "Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. And in those words, we can turn our work over to the Lord. We don't even know sometimes what God might do with the work of our hands. We have some intention or some plan, no doubt, but this psalm reminds us that we can just pray, "Lord, establish the work of our hands, do something with it, accomplish whatever you want to do with it." And so I just find Psalm 90 a tremendous help in ministry. It's really sustained me a lot in recent years.
My name is Marcia McLean. I serve in North Wales in the United Kingdom alongside my husband, Steve. I just wanted to share some verses that have been a real encouragement to me over the years, especially during more challenging or difficult times. When I was a student, I remember hearing a sermon by Pastor Mark Minnick from Romans 15 about the Gentiles glorifying God for his mercy. At that time, I was just praying about going to the mission field, and I don't think I even knew where Wales was on a map, so I had no idea where I would end up. But just hearing Pastor Minnick preach those verses about the Gentiles glorifying God, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him." And he just talked about the, even those of us who were there in that, hearing that sermon, that we would one day maybe be out on the mission field and go through difficult times. And that verse 13 would be our encouragement and our help. And the verse reads, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope." Interestingly, over the years, as I've been just in my daily Bible reading, those verses have often come up at times when I really needed them, at times when maybe we weren't seeing a lot of fruit or there were discouragements in the church. And just to be able to go back and look back at that, those verses, and thinking about why I'm here and thinking about God's promises that the Gentiles would praise his name because of God's mercy. And so that has just again and again been encouraging. It's given hope. It's helped me to know that God is speaking to me through his word, and has really helped me through some of those difficult times. Just read the verse one more time. It's Romans chapter 15, verse 13. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope." And I just praise the Lord for those verses and for the hope that he's given me through that and the way he prepared my heart with those verses all those years ago.
My name is Michael Bourbon, and with my wife Janice, I've had the privilege of serving the Lord in a remote village in Papua New Guinea. When people see the presentation of our work or hear of it, sometimes they'll say, "I could never do that." Or they'll ask, "How do you do that?" Of course, the only answer is through God's enabling. But today I'd like to address the question of how can one continue to do it? When I was in the seventh grade at a camp, the Lord impressed on my mind that he was calling me to foreign missions. And from that time, I've never doubted that calling. I didn't know where the Lord would have me to go or what capacity he would have me serve in, but I knew that I was supposed to go to foreign mission work. At the end of 1 Corinthians 6:19 and moving into 20, Paul says, "You are not your own, for you are bought with a price." And for me, this verse and thought has enabled me to understand that even when it's impossible or overwhelming, I don't have the option of just quitting. I'm not my own. I'm Christ's. So I must continue until he directs otherwise. And then I can rest on his enabling and promises and power to continue the work that he's given me.
I'm Janice Bourbon, serving in Papua New Guinea.
The Lord has blessed and strengthened us many times through our years here in PNG. When we were on deputation, we were showing pictures of the primitive conditions here. And several times people said, "So you think you're up for this?" And it really did strengthen my doubts a bit, because I'm not one who really enjoys roughing it. When we returned from our survey trip, I met Darlene Rose in the doctor's office. And when I explained I was on deputation to come to PNG, she said, "Well, how's it going?" And so I shared some of my doubts. Her statement was a great help to me. She said, "The Lord will never ask you to do anything He won't enable you to do." And I have really seen this many times. One of the blessings we have had here is that the Lord sent us three homeschool helpers, Belinda Richter, Rebecca Crane, and Sarah Hartwig. And the Lord called Belinda and Rebecca to come back as career missionaries and labor here in Ibai. And then as far as Sarah Hartwig, you all know the blessing that she has been to many missionaries. Later, in 2020, I had a TIA. My entire right side was paralyzed for about an hour and a half, but it just resolved, and I had no lingering ill effects. So that was a great answer to the prayers when that suddenly occurred. In the last few years, the Lord's enabled me to join Michael to minister in a church plant that you have to hike to. Many times, I'll have some pain that will make me wonder if I'll have trouble on the hike. But I've learned to just attempt it in the belief that the Lord has ministry for me to do, and that because of that, He will enable me to do it. And this has been the case time and time again. He has been the ever faithful one.
Dale and Lisa Crawford, Home Office. As we pass certain milestones in life, it is good to look back and reflect on God's goodness to us. This particular 30-year milestone at GFA brings to mind three groups of people for which we are thankful. Number one, you, the GFA missionary family. It has been a great blessing to have a small part in your ministries around the world. Relationships have been built over the years as we rejoiced with you in joyful times of ministry and prayed for you during challenging times. You have been an example to us. The second group of people that comes to mind is the GFA Home Office staff. It's not a secret that the more you get to know someone, the more you realize they are not perfect. We all still battle the flesh. Most of us in the Home Office have worked together for many years. It has been a blessing to be in a work environment of imperfect believers where we all have the same goal, serving the Lord by serving GFA missionaries. The Lord has also blessed GFA financially over the years. Watching Him provide in times of need are special memories of God's goodness. The third group of people are GFA donors. GFA has donors whom God has blessed financially in a large way, and others who don't have much in earthly goods. There are people in both groups who have blessed my heart because their desire to participate in missionary work financially is very serious and intentional. They are a blessing. But we all know life is not only filled with blessings. God uses the challenges of life to help us know Him better. Psalm 42 is a psalm full of encouragement. Verse 1 says, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God." This easily understandable illustration encourages us to earnestly seek God and know Him better. The more we truly know God, the easier it will be for us when we face trials and despair. In verse 5, "Why are you in despair, O my soul, and why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him for the help of His presence." there will be times when we all face trials that could cause us to despair unless our hope is in God. When those times come, remember verse 6 and following. O my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore, I remember you. Remember what God has done for us before. Remember the waves of sorrow that pour over us as God's waves, sent for a purpose, and remember that God's loving kindness is unfailing. God bless.
Hi, GFA family. I just wanted to talk about some challenges we faced here in Vienna and how we've seen God work. Some of you know Sarah and I have been serving in Vienna for nearly 28 years, but our effectiveness has increased with learned obedience. We were obedient to his call on our lives to go to Vienna, but there were areas that he still required of us. Most recently, we've been very pronounced and prescribed in our discipleship efforts. At the same time, the Lord brought a number of young seekers, mostly in their 20s, who needed salvation and growth. This was not the result of our marketing strategy or our amazing personalities, but it was clearly God continuing with his plan. Even in the early days of this ministry, we were alone, clueless about how to effectively resettle in a foreign land and begin the tasks needed for church planting. We were young parents, we had a new language to learn, we had challenges that accompany an international move and managing three children under the age of 3 years old. To give up would have been the same reaction. To allow our emotions to deter us would have been understandable. But to abandon God's call was never an option. He called us. He provided for us. He repeatedly verified his will for us. It is not humility to say that this work is completely of the Lord's doing. It would be arrogance for us to claim any part of his work. At times our thinking would get in the way of his work, but he has repeatedly shown us his hand in every detail. He's always been faithful, even in our despair. Early in our ministry in Vienna, we learned to pile up stones of remembrance to keep our eyes on the ways that God has provided. One pile of stones was the result of a desire to have our children attend a summer camp in the U.S. Someone had graciously paid for the camp fees for the oldest three children, and it was a huge blessing that came with a big challenge, the cost of the flight to take them there. Sarah's father found an airline that would allow our 14-year-old to be the supervisor of all three, so we could not have to pay for an adult ticket to take them. He reserved the needed tickets on Saturday, but we only had 24 hours to pay for the tickets or to cancel. As we talked about it, we sadly concluded that we did not have anywhere close to the money needed to buy the plane tickets. We were going to have to break the bad news to the kids after church. And at church on Sunday, the congregation of about 25 people asked us to come forward for a presentation that they had for us. It was a surprise, but they had secretly for a couple weeks been collecting money from the church people. The money was placed in a small box with tape all over it and a small slit in the top so that each donation was private. They had no idea how much they had given, and we thanked them for the kind gift and we started home after church. We decided that we should stop at a restaurant, a fast food place, and open up the box, but we knew that it may be worse to see all the sacrifice that the church had made and still be way too short on the money that was needed to send the kids to camp. And so we ripped a box open, cut through all the tape, started counting the money in front of the kids, 10-year-old bills, 20-year-old bills, a couple of 50s. But when we added the total and checked the conversion rate, our little church had given within $1 the amount that was needed for the flights that was told to us the day before. We cried. We rejoiced. We thanked God as a family. We bought the tickets to send the children to camp that year, but we also built a pile of stones in our minds to never forget how faithful the Lord is and has been in supplying for his work and even for our parenting desires. He is faithful, despite us, but it's a sure joy to be faithful to his plan and to see the results of all that he has planned.
We're Joaquin and Paqui López, serving the Lord in Spain with GFA since 1995. What a blessing has been to be a part of the GFA family for these last 30 years. The directors, their visits to Spain, to us, the secretaries doing so many things for us, the GFA retreats, and our fellow missionaries around the world have been a real encouragement to us during these long and blessed years. We're very thankful for all the churches in the U.S. that have been supporting our family and ministry with financial, but especially with so many prayers in our behalf. As we reflect and look back during these 30 years of ministry, we can only say that the invisible hand of the Lord has been with us in our ups and downs in the two ministries that by His grace we have been able to establish in Spain. The first church is located 30 minutes north of Barcelona in the northeast corner of Spain, and the second 1 hour south in the city of Torredembarra. There are two passages of the scripture that have been very important to us. The first is the well-known passage of the Great Commission in Matthew 28 that emphasizes going and making disciples. The greatest blessing during these 30 years have been seeing people to come to Christ for salvation, hearing their prayers, accepting Christ as their personal Savior, as they ask the Lord to save them, has been the greatest miracle and the greatest blessing in our ministry. See people saved. After that first step of obedience to Christ, in the salvation experience of the new birth, is where the second very important passage of Scripture plays a very important role in our lives and ministries. The passage is found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 12 to 16, where we read that the purpose of a missionary pastor and evangelist is to preach and to teach so that the new converts grow in their faith. The work of the missionary is to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It has been a thrill after people have got saved to see them grow in grace as we have discipled them week by week. Maybe in the beginning the fruit was very small, and in some instances and in some individuals we were wondering if there was any fruit at all. But after a period of time with teaching, love, and patience, the fruit has been developed, seeing the work of grace that God did in their hearts in salvation. No doubt we have encountered times of loneliness, discouragement, temptations, disappointment with some people, and times of spiritual warfare against the powers of darkness. Even times of physical trials in our personal family and even in our own physical bodies. But the Lord always has manifested strong, and His present and tender care has helped us to go through coming out more purified and encouraged. Looking into eternity, there is nothing better that we could do in this life than to serve the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We are honored to serve His Majesty with this great group of people. Thank you so very much to everyone that confirms the mission of Gospel Fellowship Association. God bless you.
Hello, we're Rob and Cindy Moody, and we are missionaries in New Brunswick, Canada. And we're happy to share our testimonies with you. And so Cindy's going to go first.
If I could only give one sentence to summarize the 30 years of experience of being a missionary that God has blessed us with, I would say that God is faithful always. No matter what we've experienced personally or in our ministry, the Lord has always been there with precious reminders of His presence, His comfort, and His leading from either scripture or songs. We had a dear ministry friend that we worked with, and he used to say, "When you feel discouraged, remember Noah." Noah preached for 120 years, and the only converts he had were his own family. And I was thinking about this once and just really pondering why the Lord would ask Noah to do something for 120 years when God in His omniscience knew that Noah was only going to see his family saved. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized that God was strengthening Noah's faith, not just in his current situation, but for his future life. Noah's faith was commended in Hebrews 11 because he kept going, even when he couldn't see or understand everything. And so like Noah, nothing happens in our lives without purpose. We just have to keep going and trust that our loving Heavenly Father works all things for our good and His glory, and He is faithful always.
So we're not only celebrating 30 years with GFA, but also 30 years of marriage. So I was thinking about that as I was thinking about this testimony, and just wanted to share a verse that the Lord has used in my life to help me to keep in focus the importance of my relationship with Cindy as we serve Him. And so that's 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And, you know, we enjoy working together. The Lord has brought us together as a team. And it reminds me of something that happened when we were first starting out deputation. And we were at a small church in New England, and there was a little girl in the house we were staying, and she looked at us one day and said, "You guys are a team." And of course, you know, it made us laugh, but it also was something that stuck with us, that the Lord has called us to work together. And I have a responsibility as Cindy's husband to have a right relationship with her, if I'm going to have a right relationship with God. And at the end of that verse says that your prayers be not hindered. And prayer is something that has become more and more important in my life. I think the Lord has really taught me some lessons in this area. A couple verses, Psalm 62:8, trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. And what a blessing that verse is. And to know that the Lord wants to hear our prayers. If we have something on our hearts, and God wants to hear it. Pour out your hearts before Him, it says. And another verse that has been a blessing in regards to prayer is Isaiah 37:21. And this is from the New American Standard. I just quote that verse. Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent word to Hezekiah, saying, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, because you have prayed to me about Sennacherib, king of Assyria." And, you know, that was one of those, it was one of those times when I was having my devotions and reading something. And a lot of times you read and you don't, things don't really sink in. But this time, the verse really struck me, especially that phrase, "because you have prayed." And it just brought home to me the difference that prayer makes. And, you know, as I pray and I trust the Lord, He answers according to His will. He gives us what is best. And yet prayer does make a difference, you know. And it's something that I've really latched onto is that phrase, "because you have prayed," and the importance of prayer. And as Cindy was talking about the faithfulness of God, something I could add to that is God's leading. We are so thankful for the way He has led us step by step, sometimes through times of confusion, and yet He makes the way plain. And Psalm 37:23 has been a blessing. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. And God delights to show us and to lead us in the path of His choosing. And it's been such a blessing to follow Him, and He is certainly faithful.
Hi, I'm Bud Talbert, GFA missionary to Alberta, Canada. I have church planted in Calgary, Alberta, and college planted in Edmonton, Alberta, the capital, since 1988. To make me more useful in the work here, God sent me back to Bob Jones for additional training, especially in the area of preaching. A dear brother in Christ paid my way for about 5 years of classes, which were held twice every year, and it made me much more useful in preaching and teaching. But the most helpful thing God did to make me a more useful servant for Him was to give me a wonderfully gifted, spiritually minded wife who loved me and never failed to encourage and support me and the members of our congregation and the students for our college in the ministries God gave us to do up here. It is difficult to pinpoint scripture verses that especially anchored me during difficult times, but there are two that I have returned to many, many times in my service in Canada. The first is from Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. I thank God for my wife's amazing economy with the funds God provided for us. And that very often, this passage reminded me that God would always provide exactly what we needed. The second passage is from 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 and 25. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. These virtues of kindness and patience and gentleness have never come to me naturally, but the Lord has taught me that these qualities are important for pastors and teachers. The third question, what is my biggest challenge in the more than 37 years we've been here? Undoubtedly, it has been saying goodbye to my helpmeet of 43 years. I could never ask the Lord to send her back to me because I missed her so much. I know where she is, and I know that she is far happier in glory than she could ever be here. But God has appointed this, not just for me, but for my five children as well. And His will is always perfect.